Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus. And joining us today is Dr. Arvind Singhal. Dr. Singhal is a professor here in the communication department, one of my colleagues. I'm very honored and privileged to work with him. But Dr. Singhal is an expert in the area of narrative for change. And he partnered recently with Wong. Dr. Wong is at the University of Buffalo. And they wanted to talk about a show which some of you may be familiar with, and it's called East Los High. And for those of you who might remember Beverly Hills 90210 or some of those shows, it's kind of a little bit similarities, but we'll talk a little bit about what that research involved. And it all comes down to you working with one of your students. But first of all, Dr. Singhal, thank you very much for being with us here today.
It's a pleasure, Louis, and honor to be here.
And as I mentioned, you were working with one of your students who was, I guess, working on her master's thesis.
That is correct.
And yes. So what was this all about?
So East Los High, this web novella, which was broadcast on Hulu, is, I'd say, a creative experiment, an experiment in the heart of Hollywood. So imagine an executive producer in Hollywood who wants to change the world, but also is very in tune with the idea of getting good commercial ratings. Her name is Katie Elmore Mota. She basically came up with the idea of this program, a program which would take what was not mainstream and make it mainstream. So in essence, this program, East Los High, is situated in East LA High School, as one can guess. It has the entire creative team of a certain demographic profile, and that is all, you know, it's produced, directed, acted upon by our friends who are Latinos. So it's a show by them, of them, for them. And what it does is it takes the real life issues that teenagers in East LA face. East LA has one of the highest rates of teenage pregnancy amongst Hispanic women anywhere in the country. And we know that Hispanic women have twice the teenage pregnancy rates compared to white teenagers. So the program basically took, in a very authentic, realistic, you know, off by four Latinas as production framework to create an award-winning show, which had very high ratings. And our research here at the University of Texas, El Paso, along with colleagues, as you've mentioned, from the University of Buffalo, showed that the program had very strong effects.
So what about, what kind of impact were you talking about? Because I remember when I first started teaching here at UTEP, and I teach a radio and TV programming class, and at that time, Beverly Hills 90210 was very popular, but some of the research showed that it was very popular among Hispanics who were middle to low income, not high income like the people who were in that, featured in that show. And some of the people who answered said, well, the reason that it's popular is because this is something that we aspire to be, or we like to be like this, and it's out of our league.
Mm-hmm. So what is different about East Los High, even though there are lots of commonalities with Beverly Hills 90, in terms of the entertainment format, in terms of the serial drama, is that the program was created with a lot of partnerships, you can say, between Hollywood, between the Latino community, with organizations such as Planned Parenthood and other organizations that deal with issues that teens face. And it's through the creation of storylines and a narrative which is based on what exists so that you can then try to change what exists. The notion of research partnerships, you know, we often talk about the creative people usually as, you know, sort of being peacocks, to use a metaphor. No, they're flamboyant, they're creative, don't tell me. And then we look at researchers like us and we think of them as turtles. You know, we are sort of proddy and slow and don't do this and don't do that. And usually they never dance together, the peacocks and the turtles, whereas East Los High is an example of creative people coming together with researchers and using the resources, the wisdom that exists in the community to create a show. And I think that's the reason why the authenticity and the realism associated with East Los High made it one of the most popular shows on Hulu. And now it's in season four. And for any program to be in season four, and that begins on July 15th of 2016, is by itself a commentary on the fact that it's not just popular, but also through our research, we have shown that, you know, viewers engage with the storyline. They love the authenticity of the characters. They can relate to the characters because they can relate to the characters, the issues that the characters deal with, whether it's, you know, peer pressure, whether it's teenage pregnancy, whether it's do I get an abortion or not. Those issues begin to hit home.
One of the more popular shows of the 1970s was The Waltons. And people claim that the reason it was popular is because the audience could identify with every character from the oldest grandma and grandpa to the youngest. And so, as you mentioned, as far as being able to relate to these shows, with your research and what you've studied, it's interesting. I think I find it fascinating. I don't know about other people. The fact that web television has really taken off, and people, instead of watching regular channels, they'll watch YouTube videos or web television.
Mm-hmm. In fact, even the choice of having this program on Hulu was based on the demographics. So if you look at the national figures, and this may come as a surprise to you, but the highest penetration of smartphones amongst youth in the United States is with the Latino community. And which means that, you know, Latino, Latina teenagers, they may not have a computer at home, but they have smartphones. They may have one television set and, you know, maybe grandma watches it, but they consume all their media on smartphones. So East Los High, actually, in some ways, was more than a web novella. It is probably one of the finest examples of what we call transmedia storytelling. And what does that mean? It's not multimedia, it's transmedia. So East Los High had a storyline, you know, the anchor storyline was, you can imagine, the web novella, which featured on Hulu. But then there was 9 or 10 other ways in which that storyline was played out. So, for instance, each of the characters had a Facebook page, and they were enacting their character. Their characters would tweet, yeah? So what was happening in the show, in some ways, they're talking about their feelings as characters behind the show. So the storyline is playing itself out in some ways on these various social media, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. And so it's an extension in some ways of the Hulu program. There was a East Los High website, which the folks who had watched the program would be directed to after they had watched the show on their smartphones. If you want to find out what's happening on the side in the life of this character, click here. And, you know, the story is set in a school. If you want to see what the school newspaper is saying about, you know, the jealousy between this and this, click on this. So there's a school newspaper. And you can get into storylines, you know, which extend. So basically, it was a transmediated, very creatively, thoughtfully done media enterprise, which was connecting with the demographic and their patterns of media use in ways that was very strategically aligned with not just the mission of the program, but with the media consuming habits of the demographic.
And as you mentioned earlier, before the program started, the fact that the way we're using media now, we're using it in a way that people never even imagined we'd be using it. And you gave us an example of something that you've been associated with in India as well.
That's correct. So Narratives for Change, stories and what they can do has been a passion of mine for the last 30 plus years. I've been studying this and I worked in, several dozens of countries with initiatives which use television soap operas or game shows or, you know, other kinds of media programming, popular media programming. Call this the entertainment education strategy. So the idea is to use the popular genre of entertainment, not to tell people, because you can't tell people and be didactic, but to show what happens when this occurs or what happens when that occurs. When a teenager makes a certain choice, you know, what are the consequences? And it's all theoretically based on principles of, you know, social modeling, how we learn from, you know, not just real life models, but also from media characters, how media characters become very influential if we develop interpersonal relationships with them, you know, talking to your TV set as if the character was real, and using that power in some ways to create the conditions for conversations to happen which otherwise won't.
And perhaps, I'm not sure if you're at liberty to say anything about this yet, but some pretty big names as far as funding are interested in these type of shows. And so they're going to get a, take a closer look at this, is what you mentioned.
Absolutely. So, you know, whether it's the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, whether it's the Ford Foundation, whether it's the Rockefeller Foundation, whether it's the Packard Foundation. I mean, I've been funded by many of these organizations to do research on such programs. And of course, they engage us to do research because they have, you know, earmarked some of their funding for the creation of these programs to deal with very complex social issues.
So would you say that because of social media and the fact that you now has become easier, the fact that a teen in India, a teen from the United States, a teen from Mexico, a teen from somewhere in Asia may identify with some of those issues?
Yes, and I think it sort of works or it cuts both ways. So on one hand, media audiences have become tremendously fragmented, no? Because the internet has put the me in the medium. I watch my YouTube. I do my Facebook. I use my Twitter. So in some ways, there's fragmentation. But also, at the same time, there is connectivity. And so, for instance, one of the things we found is East Los High was being watched and accessed in over 120 countries. I mean, you say, like, how is that possible? No, well, that's what the research showed, because we could track, because, you know, the digital feeds, the Facebooks and the Instagrams and the Twitters, you can tell, you know, who's posting from where. Or Hulu can tell you, you know, who's watching from where because of the IP addresses and so on. So on one hand, there's fragmentation, more choices. But at the other hand, there's more connectivity and more access. And so I think it cuts both ways. But if you can create a movement of any kind with any socio-demographic, and if clearly, I mean, this program was watched mostly by young people, but 60% of its audience was non-Latino, even though 100% of the issues that it dealt with were Latino. And so it shows that there's crossover and conversations help. And if, you know, your friend tweets about this program, you know, you may get interested, because that's the way we consume media. No, we are directed by those whose opinions we value.
Dr. Singhal, thank you so much for visiting with us. We're out of time, and I'm sure we're going to bring you back for some more. Always a treat speak with you. So thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Louis. A pleasure.
We've been visiting with Professor Arvind Singhal, talking about the Hulu TV show East Los High and his research that he did with him and some other colleagues and people here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Evan Walsh. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.